Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Troy Dooley here on Radio for Your Mind. It is a beautiful, cloudless day on the beaches of Florida. And I tell you what, it just stokes me to death. The weather is heating up again. We're getting through this cold. We broke an 80-year record for cold, both the how cold it was and the length of time that we were below freezing. I mean, it was nuts. But we are excited. We truly are excited where we're going. We've been blessed in 2010. Today we're talking, again, we're out of Don DeScamonti's book. We're on Chapter 8, Ready, Set, Grow, How to Discover Your Passion, Overcome Your Fears, and Create the Life You've Always Wanted. Man, this is why this is important. You know, I'm sitting here today, and we did the small, you know, 10-minute TV thing we do on the internet, and we were talking about different things, and I was going through some of my study material, and when I started really digging in to toxic alliances, I started realizing over the years, as I would counsel with people in network marketing and we talked to people outside everything going on, I started to realize how many times that people think they're forming some type of an alliance. And all they're doing is digging themselves a hole. And Dondi in her book puts it this way. She says, in terms of pure definition, an alliance is an agreement, a partnership, or a connection. Stand those words next to toxic, and you have a dangerous alliance, a poisonous connection, or a deadly agreement. How many times have you gone out there and you've listened to what other people have said, whether it's in business or your personal life? And they've taught this thing of just go and find people and bring them into your business and get to know them, you know, no off limits, no qualification, no nothing. And very quickly, you come to find that some people are just dull, negative, disillusioned people. Or worse yet, I get people all the time that tell me, Troy, I'm going to go buy a genealogy list. I'm going to call all these people that are either in network marketing or used to be in network marketing. And I said, okay, that's a pretty good concept in general, but the question is, did you do any research on those people? Did they go from company to company to company? See, is there a situation here? Are you going to pull yourself into a hole? And I think that's sometimes what toxic alliances will do. See, instead of helping you grow, it pulls you down. And I remember as a kid, my mom and dad used to say, I don't want you hanging around with those boys. They're just gonna cause you to go down on their level. And I kept thinking, no, that'd never happen, man. I'm a leader. I'm a stud. And the next thing you know, we're all in trouble. Or I'd tell Dad, I'd bring a girl home and say, I'm going to date her. And he'd pull me aside and say, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't date her. I'd say, what do you mean I wouldn't date her? Well, I know that kind of woman, and she's just going to break your heart. She's probably already dating two or three other guys, too. No, Dad, not her, man. I'm telling you, I am the one. And next thing you know, we're not only are we breaking up, but I find out she broke up with two or three other guys and got three new ones on the list. So we end up getting in the wrong relationships. It's a toxic deal. And I think why we don't do this on purpose, you know, nobody wants to go out there and align themselves with the wrong people. We all do it. I've done that. Jim and I don't know, about 4 or 5 months ago we're talking about this because I'd had a business relationship and I told him, I said, you know, the individual is just a phenomenal person, but just drains the doggone life out of me every time I have to talk to him. And it's because it didn't seem like anything positive ever came out of their doggone mouth. And a few months of separation, and the other day I made contact and was chatting and told him about something that was just phenomenal and was actually getting ready to give him some business. And instead of being positive and uplifting about what could be a nice six-figure deal, wanted to tell me how these people didn't have a clue what they were doing. And I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking, okay, one of these people is the owner of a company that has just getting ready to launch that has been able to attract hundreds of thousands of people. Well, you know, it's clueless. And sometimes we do that. And as we look at this today, because Dondi's got some awesome stuff in here. And she puts on it right in the beginning, she says, when you get right down to it, there are two basic groups of people. In the first group are people who encourage and believe in you. They add something to your life. When you leave their presence, you feel better. You feel more confident, more prepared, more equipped. These people, you just know when you leave, I can make it. Then she says there's another group of people. She calls them the vampire people because they suck the life out of everything and everyone they touch. And I started laughing when I was reading that because I thought, man, what a perfect analogy. Matter of fact, I wrote an e-book last year, and we call them vampire MLMers because they do this. And it's like, man, this is so true. But the question, folks, that you've got to ask yourself are, why are you in these relationships? What is it that causes you not just to form a toxic alliance, but what is it that causes you to stay in them? See, that's the key. And if we can dig deep enough to understand that, and we can dig deep enough, then all of a sudden our business will start to grow. Because instead of going out there and using the old 3-foot rule where you're slapping everybody up against a wall, instead what happens is you're going out there qualifying people based on what you need and what you want in your organization. Now, if you're around people like this and you're around these toxic relationships, Donnie gives us some great advice here. She gives us 6 things that we can do, or really 6 questions that we can ask on why we're in these relationships and what to do to get out of them. Now here, I want you to listen to these questions. Number 1, is there anyone planting negative critical beliefs into your life right now? Now think about that for a second. Who do you have around you that just constantly has nothing positive to say? It's always negative. It's always critical. It's always that won't work or this won't work. You know, one of the things that I find humorous because of the way I write and the way I do my videos, I'll have people every now and then come by and say, well, you're just being negative on that company. And I said, no, basically what I do is I ask questions and I make those questions public because I want people to answer those questions. Because if you'll notice in the last 8 chapters we've gone through, the last 7 plus this one, everything revolves around questions and answers. And if you ask the right question, you will get the correct answer. It may not be what you want to hear, but it will be correct. And most of the time, people that are around us that are dull, negative, they don't ask questions. They plant negative seeds is what they do. Let's look at question number 2. Is there a relationship in your life that is pulling you backwards and blocking you from your growth and undermining your progress? Now listen, this doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a hobby. It could be what you think is a ministry that isn't, that's just pulling the life out of you. It's probably not focused on what your purpose in life is. Number 3, is there a relationship marked by broken trust, unresolved conflict, and destructive communication? See, these questions are very important because it's going to help you to narrow down. A lot of times we just go through life, we're in relationships, we have no clue which one's causing us problems and which ones aren't. Number 4, is there someone in your life who compromises your boundaries and ethics? That's a big one, folks. Number 5, are there behaviors you are passively endorsing to avoid conflict? See, these are the questions that allow you to step back for a second and assess where you're at. It's the questions that allow you to get a grip on yourself. You know, for years, I found it humorous because Donnie talks about this in her book, but for years, I would literally do my best not to have to hang out with family for a long time. If I knew my whole family was going to get together and it was Christmas or Thanksgiving, I'd try to time it just right so we could get there for the meal. We'd have to get to Paige's folks right afterwards, so it was very short. And the reason it was that way is because I just hated the fact that when I was with my family, I felt just like this big load was on my shoulders. There was always, anytime I would say something, there'd be a total different opinion to it. If I was talking about a conservative view, I'd have a liberal view. If I was talking about, you know, financially successful people, then all I would hear is, well, you can't trust rich people because they got that way off the backs of poor people. You know, I mean, it was one of the things that I hated. And finally, I realized by not hanging out with my own family, the only people I'm devastating is myself and my personal family. And instead, I had to set some boundaries. And I started saying, you know what, when I say something, listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to agree with it, but don't just necessarily knock it down. I just hated that. If I was with my, and I tell you, one that really got me is I love my mom to death, but she's always defended whatever my oldest son has done and always blames the police or people or something. And I finally had to tell her one day, Mom, you can't do that. Okay, if you're not going to be willing to accept the fact that Josh makes choices on his own, please do not talk to me again about Josh. Because it just drove me nuts. I believe a person has to take responsibility for their actions, good, bad, or indifferent. And that's exactly what Dondi talks about in here. But instead of looking at the other person in which the toxic relationship is with, you have to look at yourself. Why is this toxic relationship so important? Why is it that you haven't set boundaries? Why is it that you allow them to violate your ethics and your values? See, once you get this down, all of a sudden you start eliminating all those relationships that are important. And if you think back to our training, our little, whatever we call these things, these little chats we have, and we were in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, one of the things that John talks about, and this is why I call Dondi the female John Maxwell. When John talks about this, he talks about it as being the inner circle, the law of the inner circle. And if you surround yourself with the wrong people on the inner circle, it'll blow you up totally. Prime example, just last month, we see a terrorist who's allowed into the inner circle, and he blows up and kills seven of our people. The same thing rings true when we're looking and talking about relationships. We have to make sure we do not let that toxic alliance explode in our face, because then we don't grow, we don't build, we don't do anything. We just sit back and we wonder what the heck's happening. Now, some people they're a little iffy, they're a little scared. We get in these habits, and during these habits, we don't want to change. I want to give you three things that Dondi puts in here. These are little scripts, and I thought they were awesome. Number one. If you have somebody in your life who has perfected what she calls the drive-by jab, this is the person who really tells you, really doesn't tell you what's on their mind. They just carefully wrap the dig in sarcasm or even in an ever so innocent comment. She says, the next time somebody does this, then very directly look them in the eye, smile, and warmly say, I think I hear some feedback in there somewhere. Is there something you're trying to tell me? You know, if people can't be bold and out front and direct with you, then you need to eliminate the relationship. Over the years, I've been called a lot of things, but beating around the bush has never been one of them. You have to be bold. You have to be direct. You cannot worry about what other people will think, per se. At the same time, you want to respect where they're at in life. But that doesn't mean that you hide or become some politically correct zombie just because you disagree with an ideology or something like that. Number two, what about the coworker who brings you the latest gossip about another colleague? You are not comfortable with this information, but you don't know what to say. She says, do this next time. I would feel terrible if somebody said that about me. Now, trust me, folks, if you do this, it's going to be, they're going to freak people out, especially if you've just listened in the past and kind of smile and shake your head. Made up, stop it the first two or three times, but I guarantee you before it's over, they're going to be so embarrassed they will stop bringing you this kind of information. Number three, there are people who infect everyone with their negativity. The next time that you hear some dull, negative, disillusioned, whiny crybaby, stop them and say, wait a second, you're not happy, you're not focused, give me a solution, let's fix it. They don't have a solution, they just want to hear themselves whine. See, we all have people in our lives like this that draw us down, that just dig into us. I was on a call last night, announcing with this company a brand new compensation plan and a change in direction, and and the feedback that we got after this call was phenomenal. It was awesome. Then I had one person who sends me an instant message and says, doesn't worry about their team, says to me, is this going to affect my income? Doesn't want to know about their team, wants to worry about themselves. I just snickered. I did answer politely, but it made me realize there are some people, no matter how much training is given, they do not change. They become so inward focused that they forget that there's a world out there, that there's people out there all around them. And the question you've got to ask yourself, are you moving towards people that you can help, or are you being sucked away from the people that need your help into people that just want to be dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies? And when you get right down to it, if you're a servant leader, if your passion is to help other people, and you allow this type of behavior to be around you, then factually, this toxic behavior is actually an unethical behavior that breaks down and compromises your integrity and in the integrity of your organization. Because if you're on this call, and you've been on this call any length of time over the last few months, then I can pretty much guarantee you that you're a servant leader. You're somebody that wants to grow, wants to help other people, and that's why you're here. So to allow these kind of relationships in actually goes against the ethics and the values that you have. Now, Dondi, I think, and I wrote this in my journal today, she's got a great definition here. She says, ethics are the values and the rules. Integrity is living by them. Think about that for a second. Ethics are the values and the rules. Integrity is living by them. Jim, go ahead, buddy. I should look up every now and then and pay attention to my screen.
I've just been listening quietly. You're on a roll as usual. I didn't have anything of significant value that I could add to what you were already putting in there, man. So I was just, quietly listening and enjoying the show.
I'm so sorry though, man. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, buddy.
Sometimes, sometimes talking to me, is a distraction from the message. And it's in. So if I think that's the case, then I'm just going to sit here and shut up. You remember that age-old philosophy that, sometimes it's better to keep one's mouth shut and be thought a fool than it is to open it and remove all doubt?
Oh, I've been in that position more than once.
So I was merely, listening and taking notes.
Hey, sounds like what I was doing earlier today so that I could do this little training here.
One of the things that I think our listeners really need to understand is, unfortunately, Dondi is a relatively unknown author.
Yeah, that's great.
And when you think about, the grand scheme of things and some of the other, really well-known authors that are out there like Maxwell and Covey and Ken Blanchard and, some of these other people, T. Harv Eckert and stuff like that,
oh, yeah.
But the woman is a wealth of knowledge, and the material that she puts out has extreme value to it. I would encourage people to get a copy of both of her books, not just, Ready, Set, Grow, but, Dress for Success as well. No, not Dress for Success, Design for Success.
Design.
Design for Success is a book that is geared almost 100% towards, excuse me, towards women, but at the same time, as a man, the more we know about the opposite gender, the easier it is for us to work with and empower them at the same time, especially from a leadership standpoint.
I agree.
The more we understand our female counterparts, the better it enables us to, hate that word, the better it empowers us to help them and point them in the right direction, allow them to accomplish their dreams and goals.
Well, you hit that on the head, and she's got another little book that I've been studying her website more and more that I think any parent should get. It's 52 Ways to Build Self-Esteem in Your Child. And as a mom, somebody that I know she loves, Tabor to death. I mean, it's amazing the story she writes about him. Folks, that might be a good book for you to check out too, because it's I'm a firm believer. I'm like Jim. Anything this young lady writes, I have found value in. She's fresh, she's new, but powerful. And now she's going and being called in different directions across the United States and internationally to do training. So it's good. And this is folks, you've heard everything the last 8 days that we've been doing this since first of the year. The information in this book, we can't even cover it all. We'd be here all day long going through everything that she shares. But if you just take the basics like Jim and I are talking about, life can change for you in a big way. I mean, I know every time we have her on the show, Jim, we get more information, more nuggets, and we have great feedback from her.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the new book. The new book is coming out in March. Shamefully, I don't remember what the title of the new book is going to be, but it's like I said once before, is if she's the one writing it, I know it's going to be good. So there's no question in my mind as to whether or not I'm going to grab a copy of it or not.
You got that one right. Everybody should. If you're really focused, I mean, really serious, anytime Jim and I do something, I mean, we may not read all the same books, although pretty much we do. Folks, if we tell you it's a good book, go buy it. Go rent it from the library. I guess they don't call that renting anymore. Just go check it out from the library. Whatever you got to do. You know, if you don't trust our judgment, go to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, go somewhere and sit down and read it. You'll see that before you're done, you can't take it down, because sooner or later somebody's going to be looking if you're taking notes. They're going to be wondering why you're trying to write in the book. So you're going to have to buy it. Because it's everything she talks about is perfect. And even now, she gives 6 steps on how to truly let those toxic relationships in your life disappear. You know, number one, use facts to describe the behavior that is questionable and risky, but avoid using judgmental terms or secondhand knowledge. Just stick straight with the facts, and I think that's good. Number two, communicate the value or standard that is compromised by this behavior. What that's doing is setting the boundaries, folks. You personally can't be codependent with other people. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're getting from a toxic relationship, cut it off, plain and simple. You know, it reminds me of the North Carolina governor who, from listening to him talk in the political arena, had his act together. I was looking forward to him maybe running for president. And then I find out he's in a toxic relationship. He's formed a toxic alliance with some gal in Argentina who I'm sure, looking at his wife, I'm sure this lady was probably beautiful too. But he called her his soulmate in his mind. That's the dumbest thing he could have done. But he wouldn't let go of the toxic relationship, and what did it cost him? His wife and his kids. His relationship broke. All for what? I don't know. But folks,
and his future.
Well, yeah, his future's gone. I mean, you can kiss it goodbye. I mean, the only way he'd have a future in politics is to become a Democrat, because they let everything slide. But, you know, this is scary, folks, because we all do this in one fast or another. The third thing she says here, explain the impact on results, reputation, and credibility. Sometimes people have gotten so worn out themselves with their toxic behavior, they don't understand what they're doing. Maybe, just maybe, you can help them out. Don't try to be an amateur psychologist. That's going to work. Just be factual with them. Number four, ask for a change in the behavior. Specifically state what you want this person to stop or start doing. Goes back to what I said about my mom. Mom, I don't want to hear how it's never Josh's fault. And I don't know why my mom's the way she is, because the Lord knows she wasn't that way with me. Now, she was that way with my little brother a lot. But I never got any leeway. And although Devin got a little bit of leeway, never got any like my son did. You know, number five, ask for a commitment. You don't want to just tell them what you want. You want them to say, yes, this is what I will struggle or strive to do. And number six, be prepared to talk about the consequences if the behavior does not change. And folks, that's important. You know, one of the things when I was with this company last night and we were making changes in their business model, one of the people on the phone said, well, you really are moving away from network marketing totally. And I said, not only are we doing that, but you will now not be able to sign just everybody up. You'll not be able to go out on the internet and do recruiting and doing all that. Everything that's done from that standpoint will have to have a qualification. You're going to have to log into your agent's site. You're going to have to put the information in. You're going to have to do some things. And the reason this company took this approach is because of some toxic alliances. People that had come in and brought a lot of people into this company who later were charged with federal crimes and running pyramid schemes and hurting people, and they said, we're just done. We don't want our reputation drug into this. They took a stance. Will it cost them? Oh, I don't know, probably a little bit. But in the long run, I think their reputation will be saved. We're seeing the same thing happen, folks, in other companies and other people. I'm seeing great leaders that are saying, you know what, we got to distance ourselves from the unethical behavior that we're seeing with other people or other companies. And they're separating that. In some cases, they're just saying, you know what, we got to split directions because our value system is in a different alignment than what theirs are. We hear all kinds of stuff, and Jim, I know this, when we see people make splits in relationships, we hear all kinds of things. But yet, if we set back enough and watch, usually we see that it's a benefit for both sides. And sooner or later, both sides start to sprout unless the people are just so crazy that, you know, they're like smoking loco weed or something. And it reminds me of Raven Starr, when Raven left Monavi. This is a gal, folks, that she has a focus. She has a direction in her life. She has something she's trying to accomplish. And the structure of what she was doing, she didn't think it fit Monavi as well as it fit another company. Monavi, on the same hand, said, well, we respect that, and we don't want to hold you back, and we don't want this to become some kind of toxic alliance where everybody's unhappy. So they went different directions. That's the way you do it in an ethical fashion. The unethical fashion is when you're in a toxic relationship and you're too, I don't know, gutless to get out of it, so all you do is constantly beret and make bad calls. And prime example would be the fiasco that they're having over at NBC right now with who's going to have the Tonight Show and what place. You know, I listened to Conan O'Brien, and he was belittling his own company, the people that pay him. Now, I'm not judging why he did it, but what I'm looking at is to make a public spectacle of a situation worse than it already is, there's no call for that. So break these toxic relationships. Don't get focused in toxic alliances. If you know it's not good for you, then break it off. Stop it. If you do that, you can focus back on what's important, focus back on what your goals are, focus back on your plan, and you can go and you'll start attracting the right people. Because, folks, the law of attraction works, the law of connection works in both directions. The law of connection can work for the positive if you're connecting with great people, or it can go to the opposite, and all of a sudden you're going to be connected with negative people. And if you get connected with enough negative people, that's truly where that law of connection becomes so important, because it will get convoluted. And as Jim knows, once that happens, then you really see the law of attraction take over, and you go into a downhill spiral like you can't believe, folks. Jimmy, take us out, bud.
Well, Troy, the biggest thing that I think people need to understand about the whole concept of toxic relationships is that we ultimately are the ones that are in total control over whether we allow those toxic relationships to exist or whether we choose to purge them. And like Troy mentioned, it can be a relationship with a friend, a coworker, a family member. It can be a job. It can be a commitment. I've got a very good friend who has he's so inundated with projects that he does all the time. He's involved in the PTA. He's involved in the this club and that club and this support group and that support group, and he never has time for himself. And we recently had a discussion about this very subject. Folks, the bottom line is it's up to us and the choices we make whether to keep or sever toxic relationships in our life, let them go, and move on to bigger and better things. God bless everybody. Have a fantastic day. Troy will be back tomorrow with more Radio for Your Mind.
Bye, folks.